ground control to Major Tom.
Staunton wriggling his way to the post and right on the post. There are three there. It must be a try. Yes, it is. A second try for John Kelly. Now it's all there for the taking as Gloucester pick themselves up from underneath their own post. Tom.
Ground control to Major Tom.
This is Crotty. Oh yes, O'Gara is in! Another lead for Munster, and what a magnificent try!
Check ignition.
Fully controlled, oh, straight on! Now there will be no greater place in Munster history than the one reserved for the man who scores the special individual try.
Tom Savage of Three Red Kings. Tom, a really good performance at the weekend. We got the performance we wanted from Munster, albeit without the result and albeit without a match point. A few factors there that no amount of coaching or talent can account for. But all in all, look at the performance of the Munster team first, and a decent shift put in above in the Aviva on the weekend.
There really was. There was lots of good stuff to look at there from a Munster perspective. I thought the pack played incredibly well. I thought that the patterns, the carrying, the attacking structure that Munster had overall for me was very impressive. There'll be some aspects of the game, like you said, that they're hard to coach for, they're hard to account for. But I think that Munster overall will be quite happy with how they played. They wouldn't have been talking all week about needing to produce a performance up there. And playing Leinster, any colour of Leinster in the Aviva, is going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. To do it, you need to have a bit of luck at the moment, you know, because these things are always cyclical, you know. To do it at the moment, you need to have a bit of luck, a bit of rub of the green, and then play incredibly well on top of that as well. You know, they've got quality everywhere. We were saying this before the match, that they've got so much quality. That this idea of, you know, weakened squads for Leinster Rugby, they've got six lines match day squad, is laughable. But I thought the Munster did very well regardless. Now, they still lost, you know, and they still came away with 0 points. And Leinster, of course, would say that they didn't have Darren Rose, Tadhg Furlong or Johnny Sexton, who were, you know, three hugely important players for them. But I think overall Munster will take a lot of stuff from that and use it going forward, just speaking to Exeter.
Tom, of those external factors, one of them was quite a big one in that Ben Whitehouse confused so many people up in that stadium, mostly Munster fans, but some baffling decisions.
Referees have a very difficult time. This is a very tough game for referee, especially at top level. Everything is incredibly fast. Everything is incredibly physical. It's not an easy game to actually stand in the middle and referee, especially when you've got touch judges who don't seem to be adding anything to overall performance. Me, personally, I think that Ben Whitehouse made a lot of mistakes on Saturday. Some of them were quite important game-winning decisions. And, you know, in rugby, the referee is hugely important. The effect a referee has on a game can be momentous. It goes on about just a game of inches now, a game of millimetres. One decision, one way or the other, especially when it's something like the penalty try, yellow card, or a vital penalty given or not given, can be hugely important to the sway of the game. And look, Leinster would probably have won this game regardless. Leinster are a very, very good side. They were at home. I get the feeling that they could have found a way regardless. But the opportunities that they were given were the kind of opportunities that a team like them is really, really good at putting away. You give them a penalty try and a yellow card, they're going to take advantage of that. They did. Munster ended up, you know, conceding another penalty during that sin bin period. You know, then later in the game, you have, you know, the Sam Arnold incident where the touch judge was somehow able to discern that he had knocked the ball on deliberately in the tackle, gave a penalty when, you know, if they leave that play through and, you know, Peter Earls had dotted that one down for a try up the other end, you get the TMO decision to make there, where personally, I don't even know if Sam Arnold even touched that ball. I think he touched or he tackled Robbie Hinshaw's arm, which then spilled the ball. But that decision wasn't given. And plus, you know, with the yellow card and the penalty try, if we can accept that's fair enough. And you know, Keith Earls did touch James Lowe marginally early. I mean, he did go down quite easy. You know, like a nice pint of Guinness. But when it came to the decision to award the penalty try, I can get that. Okay, that's fine. But up the other end, there was, I think it was four or five very, very close penalties in the, you know, within the 5 metre line in open play, and then a couple of ones in scrums that weren't given. And then, you know, if you add a 7-pointer for a penalty try there and, you know, take Leinster down a man for the last 10 minutes, maybe you have a different context to look at the end of it. You know, the Leinster still probably would have won, but they're incredibly good and they're incredibly efficient at what they do now these days. But it's just one of those things where if the referee has an off day like that, it's kind of hard to assess what you're doing and how you are overall, you know, when you're there's certain decisions that are going your way. You can't coach for those, you know, like there's the Sam Arnold incident in particular. Johan van Kroon is speaking about this like it was a 14-point swing. I tend to agree with him. You know, it's just one of those things, you know. I think that Munster will certainly learn a lesson with regards to, you know, how they manage the game, and they'll certainly take a lot of encouragement from the manner in which they came back from that sin bin period where they went 14 points down. There was lots of good stuff that they can take for this game. And look, I'm a former flanker. I don't really have much time for referees anyway. So all this, so when I see stuff like this, is red rags to a bull, really.
Yeah, it certainly is, Tom. Look, where do you think that performance puts us in? What kind of a position do you think it puts us in heading into the weekend? And I know we'll come back to the weekend's game at a later time, but I think Munster are in as good a shape as they could be heading into Exeter.
Yeah, look, I mean, we can't get away from the fact that, look, there was a few refereeing decisions that went against us and whatnot, but we still lost this game, you know. So from a Munster perspective, and like I said, you may as well talk like the Munster-based podcast that we are here. When you're bringing on Munster, they brought in a couple of important players. And when you're bringing in a new number 10, it dictates you're going to play slightly differently than what you have done previously. So for me, looking at where Munster are coming into this game, you know, our home form has been fantastic. Our away form has been patchy up until this past weekend. Going away to Exeter is probably one of the toughest places to go these days in Europe, you know. Leinster managed to win over there last year. That was an incredibly tough game. Munster will have all the work cut out for them going over there to try and make to get a result. Exeter are no joke whatsoever. You and me were sitting down in Musgrave Park earlier this September watching Exeter play, and they are no joke. So I think that game in particular will have given Munster a good indication of where Exeter are even back then, about what they like, what they feel like on the field, what they feel like in contact and collision, in scrum and set piece. But it'll be interesting to see. I think if Munster can play close to, and as in we'll say, you know, close to the efficiency of this last performance in the Aviva, and then maybe they're going to have to add a little bit more to it. Now, it's going to be difficult if as it looks, Albie Matheson won't be playing. It'll be difficult, but it's one of those ones where they're going to have to go there and take on a team that really has modelled themselves on Munster rugby over the course of the last 10 years and have a lot of the success to back it up. It's a very, very tough ask, but I think Munster had the game and the player to counter the way that Exeter are liking to play at the moment.
Yeah, Tom, one thing that I stood out was the fact that Munster had a lot more possession and a lot more territory against Leinster. If we're going to go away on the road, we have to be efficient. We won't get the same amount of ball. Unlikely that we get the same amount of territory. So it's about, you know, if you're inefficient with large amounts of possession, if you're going into a game when you're going to get a lot less possession, that really, really puts a huge emphasis on efficiency.
Well, it really does. And it puts a lot of emphasis on being completely ruthless with your attack as well, which I know everybody goes on about. You know, everybody's heard that whole, you know, Brent Pope, don't give a sucker an even break thing. It's been running to the ground at this stage. But when it comes to, you know, going away to Sandy Park, given the way Exeter play, you expect them to have a lot of ball. You expect them to run through on phase play to basically challenge you over multi-phase and challenge your concentration, challenge your alignment, challenge your breakdown, and just try to just wear you out that way. They're very, very good at that. They're very good at earning penalties that they didn't have to try and maul and try to work you in the piece that way. So, look, Munster probably won't have as much possession, but I think if we do have as much possession, I think Munster will be in a position where they'll be able to take a little bit more advantage as long as the decision making from halfback is where it needs to be. This is going to be a huge challenge. If Albie Mathieson is indeed injured, this is going to be a massive challenge for whoever starts it tonight, be it Duncan Williams or whoever else. This has to be, you know, standing practices. There can't be no errors. There can be no mistakes. There can't be any, I've been passing the ball behind your head for the last two phases. You know, you have to be completely ruthless with your everything in this game. If Munster are to take it, this is going to be very tight out of the field. And in tight games, very, very physical games, as this is going to be, you need to be 100% as close to the top when it comes to your accuracy.
Cronin added to the Champions Cup squad as well today in place of Bill Johnston. That would indicate that the scrum half, that they are in a rush to get scrum halves back on the field and back fit.
It just seems to be the way it is every season at Munster Rugby. There just seems to be, every year we get to see a position get absolutely ground down to the bare bones with multiple players getting injured in the same position. And it just seems like that's continued this year for whatever reason. The whole issue of Conor Murray has flared back up again this past week, which again is just at this stage incredibly boring as to, you know, why these journalists can't understand why they're being treated the exact same as regular punters who don't know what's going on and won't know what's going on if Conor Murray is named to the match day squad. So it's just one of those ones where I just think this is, it's a huge opportunity for Phillip to come in and really stake a claim. All these scrum halves are in the last year of their contract, every single one of them. So these are the games where somebody steps in, makes a name for himself, performs, all of a sudden perceptions can change of you. You know, people might think one thing of you one week. You're a scrum half, you touch the ball more than any other player. You touch it enough times well in a game and you end up winning, it can change perceptions. There's no better place to start than Sandy Park this weekend.